thank you to our friends from the media for being here and accepting our invitation to this particular briefing. You know, before we concluded the sessions in the discussion that we're having with the representatives of the top 30 ICT companies in South Africa, I was saying to them as we concluded, I was sharing with them a little joke about a priest who didn't quite know his psalms. And just to remind everybody that if you don't really do your job properly, you might lose the opportunity that's before you. And if you want to know what that joke was about, you must talk to the panel informally after the session. But let me just say that that we had a really fantastic discussion, and we were really oversubscribed on the invitations that we sent out. We tried to limit it to 30 companies, the 30 that we identified as being top of the pyramid, and we were oversubscribed. There were a lot of more people who wanted to be here, and unfortunately we couldn't accommodate them, and we couldn't accommodate them because we intend to take this dialogue and consultation further down the line with companies who have not had the opportunity to be here. This is a first in a series of conversations that we will be having with sectors and companies across the sector. So we're very mindful of the fact that we're having this discussion with the top 30 ICT companies, the leaders of the pack, if you want to call it, and that whatever we discuss here and whatever understandings that we've arrived at, we have one of our central focus is to develop a strategy and a program that would carry the rest of the companies with us in the sector. And essentially, there were three elements that we raised for conversation. The one is the invitation by the minister to the ICT sector in general to enter into a developmental partnership with government in building the sector, in reconstructing the center so that we can have a kind of 2020 developmental vision for the sector. And this was an invitation to come into this partnership. Secondly, we wanted to know what are the issues that should constitute the agenda for this dialogue between the public sector and the private sector on how we build the ICT sector. And thirdly, what are the institutions through which we can, and the platforms that we can use to make sure that this partnership can in fact progress. And I must say that I was indeed very, very pleased that we obtained a unanimous mandate from the sector to continue with this dialogue and to have an ongoing program where this dialogue can actually bring us closer together. Many of the commentators who spoke in the conversation commended us for taking the initiative and made the point that this was indeed a significant step and a very important initiative in that this hasn't happened before, and that there has been the tendency that industry was moving in one direction and the state was moving in another, and that the fact that we are now beginning to set the basis for a developmental dialogue that would bring us closer together in a partnership that must work, for the benefit of two sides, and that is that we want to see out of this partnership how we can construct a program of work together that would significantly improve the sector's prospects. And in the minister's address, we did in fact highlight the fact that there's an enormous opportunity that's available to the sector. When you look at the statistics that we're able to quote, it was clear to us that the opportunity before us is that in the past 4 years, the totality of the telecoms market has grown from 131 billion rands in 2007 to roughly 179 billion rands in 2010. And in the figures that we estimate from the department is that this sector will grow to about 187 billion rand in the year 2011. With a possible figure, if you take the vision up to 2010, a possible figure of approximately 250 billion rand. So the size of the market in the year 2020 has a very real possibility that it will amount to a revenue pot of about 250 billion rand. Now, in order to get to this figure, we believe that we have to construct a high road into the year 2020. So the conversation about a developmental partnership is precisely how do we build the basis for a high road growth in the ICT sector. A robust sector that must actualize the potential that the that is in the offering, and to ensure that in the way we do this, both the companies, the sector, the companies in the sector will get a profitable return for their shareholders, because that's what they're all about. They're about creating a commercial dividend and a return for their shareholders and the investment that they make. We in government understand that. We want to support that. But in return for that kind of support, we want to make sure that there are certain developmental dividends that must accrue to the people of this country. And we're very focused on that. That developmental dividend must express itself in having greater accessibility and affordability on telecommunication services to our general population. So we want to make sure that we improve and increase the accessibility of telecom services and communication services to our people. Secondly, we want a growth that is more inclusive, not exclusive, not confined. And by inclusivity, we mean we must bring those that are unconnected and make them connected. So the rural areas constitute a very important developmental dividend in the way we want to mobilize the sector to come into this partnership of connecting the unconnected with the state. So these are very important issues for us. We think that the third issue of tackling the critical skills deficit in our country is absolutely important. And in that regard, we made mention of the fact that we have brought into being a dedicated institution within the department of what we call the E-Skills Institute. And this E-Skills Institute will have a focused mission, and that is to look at the programs and policies on how we can enhance skills development in this country. Because if you can't produce a better skilled force in the ICT sector, we can't grow the industry. And a number of commentators from industry have implored us that we've got to work together to stop the brain drain, to stop our young kids, talented, from leaving the South African shores and looking for the opportunity elsewhere, when in fact the opportunity is right here in our doorstep. And the opportunity expresses itself in the possibility that in this 250 billion rand market that we are talking about, we have the potential for us to not just think domestically of the South African market, but to think of the opportunity that the African market presents to us. Because Africa there is waiting for South African companies to come and service their needs. And in the way we've constructed the developmental alliances in our international relationships, President Zuma has been very careful in taking us into the countries called the BRIC economy. We now have a place and a footing with a strategic partnership with China. We have a footing in India, a partnership of principle, and we are very, very warmly embraced in Latin America. So we've got considerable market opportunities in the emerging world that's available to South Africa, Latin America, Asia, India, and China. And our companies must take that. They must take that opportunity working in partnership with the state. And that's what the conversation has been about. how can we work together and work to the day when we can truly generate global brands of repute in the world. We want our companies to become global because we cannot allow this opportunity to be exploited by European and American telecommunications companies when in fact our own companies can take advantage of this particular opportunity. So the dialogue in that room has been about all of this, and I'm encouraged to report to you, and the panelists who are here also will share their comments on it. But I can tell you that we've got an overwhelming agreement and a mandate to continue the partnership, to build onto it. And there have been various suggestions made on how we should structure the dialogue and the partnership going forward. And we've taken all these ideas, and we have been able to win the participation of the panelists into an industry-based working group that would take the recommendations of this forum and work with the minister in a working group to take an effect and implement a working program on realizing what is the critically core objective of all of this, is how do we respond to the president's call for the creation of jobs in this particular sector. So in the weeks and months that will come, various industry players will themselves make announcements on what the investment intentions are in the sector that will give rise to an expression of how we are responding to the president's call for the creation of jobs. We've identified a number of opportunities where these things could actually work, and we will be in the course of the work of this working group outlining some specific programs to respond very concretely to that. So let me say it's my pleasure to announce that the panel that has agreed to constitute the working group on job creation and the development of the sector is Mrs. Sandile Ngaba from Dimension Data, Mr. Craig Venter from Altec, Mr. Atul Gupta from Sahara Computers, Nolo Letele from MultiChoice, Peter Ace from Vodacom, Sifiso Debengwe had to leave from MTN, and Jayendra Naidu also had to leave from the J&J group. Is he here? So we welcome the working group and their offer to participate. None of these gentlemen are in the working group because of the specific interests of the company that they represent. They are here to get an industry focus and to get a program going that services the industry as a whole. So we would be quite happy to take any questions that you may want to ask on these matters, and the panel is happy to comment and free to comment on it. Tiani, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Minister. We'll take questions in sets of three. Please introduce yourself and the organization you represent before asking a question.
Duncan Mutar from Tech Central. I just wanted to ask the Minister a bit about section here on state-owned enterprises, and specifically as that applies to Telkom. Do you regard Telkom as a state-owned enterprise, and what role do you see it playing in this process?
Okay, another question.
Mr. Minister, Aki Anastasio, Talk Radio 702. You've mentioned here broadband access for all. Now, I would like to know, how are you planning to do this? You've set the target here by 2020. We know that there have been numerous obstacles in the past. Local loop unbundling is one of them. We've been hearing about local loop unbundling since 2006, but yet nothing has materialized. Are you confident, and I know that you've set a target for the 1st of November of this year, are you confident this is going to be met, and how are you going to, what kind of progress is being made in this regard?
From SABC, I just want to find out if the top 30 ICT companies, if they've compiled with the initial 16 signatories for the ICT charter, and where exactly is this charter, and what are the expectations for 2011?
Thanks. Over to you, Minister.
Well, let me take the first one on the state-owned enterprises. We don't think Telkom is a state-owned enterprise. I think there's a lot of confusion about that. Telkom is a listed company on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. on which the state has a 39.8%, I think, interest. And together with the PIC, as governments, we constitute 51.1 or something like that percentage of the company. So we have a majority stake in what is a private sector company. Now, but telecoms are critically important assets for us as government. And the critical dilemma inside how we develop an approach to telecom has to deal with the challenge of building a company that must bring a profitable return for its shareholders and to guarantee the dividend that its investing community in telecom makes. But at the same time, it is an important instrument for the state because we are not satisfied that we have the full accessibility on telecommunication services in the country. And it's the only instrument that we have as a government to ensure that our developmental and strategic outcomes with respect to those universal services can in fact be met. So it's an important instrument, and always the challenge in the way telecom has to deal with its decision making is how do you balance the commercial imperatives with the developmental objectives of the state. And that's not a challenge we should wish away. It's in the nature of the kind of enterprise that we're trying to build in a developmental state where you balance the two, and that's the real challenge before us. So in the way we manage telecom, in the strategic approaches we are developing with telecom, we want to encourage the directors to run that company as a profitable company that must be accountable to its shareholders. And it's not a company that must just be responsive to government's priorities. It's a company that must be responsive to the shareholders of that company and to ensure that these two balancing things are effective. It has an important role to play in discharging our obligations to the rural areas. It has an amazing opportunity before it to really intensify the broadband question that we talked about. Now, of course, and it's related to the next one question that you raised, the unbundling of the local loop. I think the case has already been made that local loop unbundling would be a very vitally important thing to achieve, because it will introduce competition in the sector. But the department is still in discussion on precisely the kind of model that we should encourage in the unbundling of the local loop. Now, whether we can meet the deadline for November, I am informed by the regulator that the project is on track and that we will meet the deadline for November. So I can only go by what the experts tell me. I can't determine what the regulator does, but the regulator informs me that things are on track to unbundle the local loop. But perhaps you ought to wait and see what is this model of unbundling that might come out. And there might be things that might surprise you on that one. Top 30 ICT companies, are you signatories of the ICT Charter? And I can't speak of the top 30 companies, and I'm not in a position to say which one of the guys are the charter. But I do know, since I've come into office, that the ICT charter in the process in the department has taken a bit of a slide. So we need to pick it up and to see where it is and accelerate it.